You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with David Shapiro from Sesson Securities in Johannesburg. David, we'll talk about the equities market, notably the JSC, in a moment. But the big move of the day to me, well, there's a few big moves, but the one that really stands out is the US 10-year bond yield. I mean, this thing was 3.50, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe even less, 3.50%. As everyone was very scared about inflation running even more riotous than it has been before. And now suddenly it's 3%, or just above 3%. These are huge moves in a massive market.
Massive. I don't think, and what happens is this move has come against views to the contrary. I think the markets were positioning themselves for a far bigger move upwards in rates, much higher rates. And the fall has been quite dramatic. You know, we don't appreciate it because we're talking in small numbers. You know, you're talking in 3% or whatever it is. But the moves in terms of the amount of money behind it are quite dramatic. You know, in terms of gains and profits in people who hold bonds. I mean, yes. These are very, very big moves. You can't equate them to equity moves, you know, or if you did equate them to equity moves, they far outstrip anything that you're seeing in the equity market.
Right.
So it's dramatic. To give you an illustration, we've got a lot of cash. You know, clients have got cash. We never went into the market. We haven't been in since about August, September, October, last year. You know, we just held back. Markets had run ahead, and we felt that it wasn't the right time to go in. So we've had quite a bit of cash on the sidelines. And about a week or two ago, when the 2 year was at 3.45, 3.50, thereabouts, I started to say, you know, it's not so bad if we go buy a short-term instrument, in other words, a fund, not short-term meaning 1 or 2 years or 3 years or something. If we go and look at something like that, 3.5 is not bad. Up to now, we've been getting zero, you know, literally. So 3.4, yeah, it's fine. It's better than nothing. And so I started to look at it. And where's the 2 year now? 2.9.
I've got the 2 year on my screen. You'll have to do that for me. But
So I've got the 2 years at 2.92, and the 5 year at 3.05. So you know, I'm not saying that they're not attractive, but what worries me is that the volatility is so great. You're saying, well, hold on a sec. Where do I go? Where's the next move? Could it shoot up to 3.50 again, or could this go down even further? I don't know. I just felt that 3.45, 3.50 was kind of a peak level where I would be happy maybe to bring some client, you know, put client money there. At these levels, I'm just holding back now to watch where the next move is, meaning I don't really know what the next move is. If it goes lower than that, no, I'm not going to go into this market, you know, the bond market.
Yeah. It's very difficult. And the only way I can really describe it, I'm going to refer to the commodities market in a moment. But Nick Kunzer and I, back in December, around about December 2020, we looked at our screen. And this is when the word transitory first made an appearance. Jerome Powell, the chair of the US Federal Reserve, say, no, don't worry about inflation, it's transitory. And I looked at my screen and I said to Nick, are you looking at the same screen as me? Is he looking at the same screen as us? Or has he got some different insight, some secret screen that he's seeing? Because I can see nothing but commodities going up and going. It's not just a flash in the pan. It's not just a little spike. It's a consistent daily, weekly, monthly move to the upside. And that was before the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And we were quite right. He abandoned transitory and interest rates started rising. And I'm not going to call this now, David, but I'm looking at my screen. And let me give you a couple of examples. Okay, Brent crude oil was 124 3-4 weeks ago when the US bonds hit 3.50, the 10-year. It's now 111, has been below 110 this morning and yesterday. Okay, so you got Brent crude oil down 2/3%. Natural gas prices, they were 9.5. Again, just a couple of weeks ago, now 6.25. That's a big fall. 8.8% down for natural gas prices today. That's because, and I'll tell you why it is, I think, is because that when the war broke out, or people assumed that there was a war about to break out, they started stocking up on natural gas to fill their gas containers for the winter. And I think Germany went from 50% to 90% full. And I think that's why the prices went shooting up. And they've got all sorts of other deals in place with the Gulf states, etc. Okay, so you got that. And I'm looking now at copper, 3.7% down today. Soybeans down 3.4%. And guess where wheat was?
I don't know wheat to go.
Okay, wheat traded on the Chicago Board of Trade was $12.8 per bushel. $12.80 per bushel. It's now $9.50 per bushel. Do the maths there. That's a 25% fall.
25%.
Wheat is in a bear market. And wheat is there's supposed to be no wheat in the world. Well, I can tell you what, somebody's found some somewhere because it's been dumped.
I think there could have been. I think your analysis is correct. I think that in every market you have massive speculation.
Yeah.
And I think big positions must have been filled, against this, and all of a sudden things start to stabilize. It happens in markets, and then you suddenly long of contracts, which you now have to undo, and that leads to the sell-off and kind of builds on itself. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know the numbers. You know, we don't know the volumes traded against that, and I haven't got access to that. That's Nick's speciality. You know, he keeps track of that. But I don't think you're wrong. I think what you've done in the same way as in any market, you know, a lot of people go long or they go short. And when they've gone short and the market stabilizes and there's no more profit, they cover in their shorts and so you get the pickup. So I think having gone through a very traumatic period, I think this is kind of a rebalancing period. That doesn't mean we know where the next move is going to be. It doesn't mean the next move is going to be down. You know, it could well be sideways or wherever. But I think what you're seeing is just a little bit of short-term correction. A correction in the true term. You know, I mean, correcting the volumes and correcting some of the excesses in these markets. That would explain it to me.
On June the 7th, iron ore was $145 per ton. It's now $112 a ton, down 8% this morning. That's another big move. You were the percentage man.
That is big.
That is really, really big. And that's 25% again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is big, and it's quite a worrying big because the demand for iron ore is always associated with China.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that connection that when the Chinese start to lift their economy, push their economy, we start to see things happening there. And if you look at it dead right, you know, if you start to see the direction, it's heading down. Meaning that demand is starting, or if there are excess stocks that have been utilized now, no one's restocking, and no building of inventories, and it's also just a cautious trend. So the explanation is worries about demand. I don't think so. I think it's more what you're saying. I think excess stocks that have been built up during a speculative period.
Yeah. Well, maybe not even speculative, maybe it's strategic. I mean, I know the Netherlands has a trading arm which is linked to the government, and the government says, right, you get out there and you secure our gas supplies. And I think they would have thought, okay, they probably know what's going on. And they started buying, and that's what pushed the price to 9.5 on natural gas, and now 6.25. Yeah, big moves. Anyway, let's go to the JSE. What did you see today, David? I didn't see much on the Stock Exchange News Service, I must say.
No. It was one of those very, very quiet days. Very little to get into on the corporate side. I think we're past that period. You know, we're past the June year end period. We'll start to get results coming through. You're going into June. We'll start to see results, but all the warnings, the trading updates have been published in that. So we've gone very, very quiet on that area. Volumes too have been exceptionally quiet. Lindsay, today it's another sub 15 billion day. I mean, we're hardly seeing any kind of trade recently, and it's twofold. It's just that people are very nervous, or there's, you know, there's nothing to get into. If we analyze where we are, if I go, you know, deep down into the market, there's been a steady selling of small and medium caps all the time. So we were down, you know, another down day today. We hit a very low. We hit lows at 10 o'clock, then went into positive territory by lunchtime, but gave it all back. And that's mainly been on your side, the side that you've been talking about, mainly on the commodity side, that has taken the market down. The rest of the market's been steady. There's been very little on the financial side. And on the industrial side, patchy gains. But what I've been watching is that I've been watching some of some of the smaller medium cap shares and that, and those have been just steadily giving away some of the profits that they made earlier on in the year. I'm just looking again today. Right across the board. Anyway, it's in very dull trade. I don't think the politics is affecting us in any way. I say that because there's been quite a bit on the political front, Zondo Commission and, you know, other issues like that. But I don't think it's had any impact. I think we're so immune to it. We're so beaten by it that, we just look for corporate news to give us the guidance.
I think it would have to be a very dramatic political event in South Africa in order to move markets, quite honestly. Mm. I don't think overseas investors are looking at the Zondo Commission developments. No. I really don't think so. It would have to be a Rubicon speech type of event to move markets. Mm.
So, no, you're right. Mm. No, you're right. There's, you know, PPC recovered from where it was yesterday. Remember, it went down 19% yesterday.
Yes, I do.
So you've had a bit of recovery. And there have been bitty gains across the board, nothing dramatic. There are a couple of features.
What features? What are you seeing apart from the commodity route?
There's a stock I've been watching, Karoo. And Karoo took a 10% down. Why I say Karoo? When you have a lot of the public or analysts starting to talk about a company, how great it is, you start to follow. We've had Renogen, we've had Transaction Capital. You know, they're new characters that emerge on the landscape, and you like to follow them. You know, you like to say, "Oh, this is a great business." Everybody tells you it's good. And I'm never one that goes in without doing homework or watching for a couple of years until the company, you've had a couple of years in succession to watch, you know, to watch how the company performs. And Karoo was Cartrack here, which is a good business, a really good business. And it went, instead of staying here, I suppose, the CEO, Zach Calisto, decided that he's going off to Singapore. There's going to be expansion there. And
didn't they also go into the United States, which is why it's listed there?
They're on the NASDAQ, but I think the area of expansion was going to be mainly in Singapore.
Yes.
And so that's where but why I say that, it came, you know, there was a lot of fanfare when it did this deal. It literally bought out Cartrack, and you got this new listing, Karoo, with about five O's behind it.
I know, it's very silly.
You know, and it's about a year ago that they went on and went up to about 60-odd rand, and slowly they've been giving it back. And today there was a bit of a crunch, a 10% crunch, that took it to a new low of about 337 rand a share. And I worry about it. In fact, I was talking to Wayne yesterday about it. You know, I always look at how a company, what people say about a company, that it's good and it's great, and then you see how the share price performs. You say, hold on, you know, it's not living up to what the publicity is. When the publicity is all very glamorous and the share price is not performing, you start to say, I don't think there's anything sinister in it. It just might not be performing from a financial point of view the way that everybody expected. Because this is when you start to see news creep out. Insiders, and I don't mean insiders in terms of directors, people with a little more know of the company start to sell, you know, before the general public sells. So it's for me, it's been one of the, you know, company I've been watching and one of the negative features, and was down about 10% today. back to this new low. So I urge people, I know very little about it, but I just urge people, look at it. Tell me what the story is. You know, you put it out there. What's happening there? Why is it like this? And don't say, oh, it's a great company. This, give me an informed view. So it's one stock that I've been watching. And, you know, when I say it's not a bad business. I mean, it comes onto my top 80 list, you know, the top 80 shares that I follow in terms of market cap. So it has a market cap of about 10 billion.
Yes.
So anyway, that was one of the negative features. And then, of course, there's another negative feature that I've been watching, and that's Bytes. And Bytes is based in the Bytes came out of the Eltron Group. It was the UK arm, and it's a good business. It should be a good business. They came out with very good results as well. Bytes, they're now listed in the UK. They've got their second. I mean, well, I think they listed there, or they've got their secondary listing here, whatever it is.
Right.
But this company was 120 at the beginning of the year. It's now 80. And likewise, another 3.4% today, making these new lows all the time. And once more, why are people selling it? You know, the results look fairly decent. There's nothing that I can complain about when I look at the numbers, but the share price not doing what the numbers suggest. So, you know, these are hints. These are pointers. And what I'm not saying this is a one-off sell-off. It's just been steadily declining since the 120 level.
Yeah.
So, yeah. A couple of shares for us to watch out for.
It's very interesting, yes. Yes, because it's consistently in the either up 5% or down 5% categories, but mainly down recently. Mm. David, let's have a look at some spot prices, if I can. That's my job. It's been a very interesting day. The JSE was down about 1.5%, and then, as you quite rightly say, rallied manfully, and then is suddenly down again towards the close. So very, very volatile. And that's, of course, a function of the fact that people are slightly confused, like we are, about fundamentals, and also the thin volume. So people are able to push the market around a little bit with relatively big orders. It affects the share price maybe a percent or two. But anyway, let's have a look at this now. I still think the Rand looks vulnerable, and I don't know why it's still 15 below 16, because with commodities doing what they're doing, and we are a commodity currency, I do believe it is, again, fundamentally very, very vulnerable. So I suppose interest rates are going up, so that'll boost it, but I don't believe that argument. Dollar Rand is 15.95, British pound against the Rand is 19.57, Euro Rand is 16.80. The Euro dollar is 105.35, which has barely changed. British pound 122.75 against the US dollar. Gold price unchanged at 18.41. Platinum down 19 to 919, and palladium is 1842, which is up 13. Now, the oil price that I was talking about earlier on is currently 110.97, which is down 0.2%. The West Texas crude is 105.24, which is down 0.9%. And as I said, natural gas down nearly 8% at 6.32, just rallied a touch. But anyway, commodities as a whole down quite substantially in the last few days. All right, and what I've got, what have you got? I've got the S&P 500 is up about 0.7%. I think the whole of Wall Street, I mean, NASDAQ and the Dow Jones all up a little bit.
Yeah, good point, there, yeah.
37.93 for the S&P 500.
The NASDAQ's up 1.4, yeah.
That's good.
NASDAQ has been recovering, and it's been also in a lot of those stocks that have been sold down. You know, that's been the surprising gainer. So there is money coming into that, or people believe perhaps that we've seen the bottom in tech shares. And, you know, we've had three good days. Even though yesterday was a negative day, you did see a complete reversal in the futures. And at one stage, the NASDAQ was up. So, again, this is coming across all the war cries of recession and, you know, with Powell testifying. So there's still some confusion up there. And even though we've had a couple of days, I still think, Lindsay, it's a little early to get very excited, you know, and say, okay, things are changing. You know, the news just doesn't support it yet.
Yeah, I think you've got to get the summer out of the way, the Northern Hemisphere summer out of the way, and then have a good look after Labor Day in early September. Then have a sit down and say, okay, what have we just been through this year? Because it's been quite a lot. It's been a hell of a year. All right, on the upside on the JSE individual stock-wise, I've got Steinhoff up 4.4%, PSG Consult up 2.6%, Mediclinic up 2.2%, Prosus a 1.8% gainer. Hong Kong did very well this morning, and therefore Tencent did. And Tungela Limited, 1 2/3% higher. Downside, Alphamin 6.6 and a third. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt. Down. Karoo down over 5%, as you said, to what's that? 350. Yeah. Anglo's down 4%. Bites again.
This is I laugh because this is a trend as well with Karoo. In the closing auction of that, you find some support coming in, you know, to try and lift the shares. Because the last I looked was 9%, so you get that effort to try and get the share price up, which always worries me. Do you know what I mean? I'm always concerned when people are trying to support the share because it'll fall 9% or 10%, and it'll recover in that. And it's always at the close, you know, during that closing auction, that the support comes in. That could either be an institution. I'm not in any way implying that company, you know, that the company does it at all. But it could be an institution with a long position or certain traders with long positions that do that.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's obvious, you know. I mean, it's not. You know what I mean? It's so obvious.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's go on.
Yeah, let's move on.
You've got me in my best cynical mood today.
So. No, that's good. Well, you have to be cynical. David, what else was I going to say? So outside of those 10 that I just gave you, or roughly 10 up and down on the JSE, nothing else? I mean, because you've already mentioned Bytes and
Karoo.
But are you saying that are you saying that the small and mid caps who led us higher are starting to lose a little bit of luster?
Yep, definitely. No doubt about it. You know, and it's been going on for a long time. A long time, I'm talking about, you know, a couple of weeks, months already, that you just, that excitement that we saw in our markets in the early stages of this year, I think we're starting to give up some of those big gains. And there's a sell-off there. And there's nothing really to get us in. You know, it's not, I don't know where the money's going, probably onto the bond market where rates are pretty good. And we're expecting rates to go a lot higher now. I'm talking the short end of the market.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's beginning to attract money. And this is, you know, even that side of the market has been quite speculative up to now. So I think there were a lot of hedge funds or traders in that market who might be just saying, look, we're not making the gains. Let's just take out our cash and leave it somewhere else.
Okay, good. Right, David.
Low volume stuff. You know, low 50 volume. That just justifies it. There's not big trade here.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what else. Yeah.
I don't know what else really, apart from the fact, David, that your team Arsenal.
Yeah.
Your team Arsenal. Oh no! Give us, before we get on to pleasanter matters, more pleasant matters. Give us the closing JSE indices and also the live Wall Street, if you would please, Mr. Shapiro.
Yeah. So. The all share ended down 0.63% at 65295. The top 40 down 0.67% at 59019. And the broader resource index, well, that's very close to the resource 10 as well, down 2.16%. And it was mainly, it looks like broadly spread, some of those falls. The rest, financials, industrials, pretty flat. The bank index, flat. You know, up 4 points or something.
Yeah.
Industrial 25 up 0.09%, which tells you, tells you just what kind of a day it was. Property was down a bit. Property down 0.75%. But as I mentioned, the value traded was pretty low at, about 16-17%, with MasPers, the big trader, at 7.8%. And then what I'm getting on Wall Street at the moment. Is the S&P up 0.64% at 3784 and the NASDAQ up 1.33% at 11,200 in that area. I can't get the Dow because obviously the company that I use, FactSet, doesn't pay royalties to the DAO, so I can't get it.
Okay. Well, I can give you a rough estimate of the DAO. For anyone that's interested, the Dow Jones, according to my screen, hold on. I would imagine, I hazard a guess, it's probably up 0.2%, because it seems to be the growth stocks that are doing well at the moment. Where am I? I'm all over the
place. I can tell you exactly how the Dow stocks are doing. That I have.
No, you don't.
You know, when I break up when I break it up.
Yeah.
Let me see.
No, you don't need to do that. The Dow Jones, David Shapiro, 15 minutes ago, because a delayed screen, was up 0.4% at 30,609. So there we go. Right, we've done that. Give me the value traded now the auction is over, if you would.
So the value trade, I gave you the value traded. So if you're going to ask me to do maths now, I'm not going to be able to do
it. No, you said it was below 15 billion, but I thought it might have jumped to the auction.
Well, it wasn't now. Yeah, now it's come. So it's worked this out. It's about 16.
Oh, that's pathetic.
16 billion.
That really is very, very poor indeed. Yeah. All right.
16, or slightly above that. Yeah, 16.1 or something like that, which is very low. But it's been consistently low for the last few days. Very little happening. And especially in some of the mining shares as well, just shows you, you know, that there's not much activity. And, you know, Lindsay, we get our mining activity from the UK because a lot of these companies have dual listings.
Yes.
We haven't got Rio here. We haven't got Rio Tinto, but you've got Glencore, you've got Anglo's, you've got Billiton, BHP. You've got South 32 is not. But generally, you get, you know, quite a bit of activity, and there's always interest in our gold and platinum miners and that. So it shows you that globally, there's not a lot of trade, particularly in those.
No. Mm-hmm. All right, David, more important matters now, because the countdown has begun almost to the football season. My team, Ipswich, in the lower tier, starts at the end of July, last Saturday in July. Your team is the first team to be playing on Friday, August the 5th, away to Crystal Palace. That's just been announced.
Oh, bad news.
By the Premier
League.
You
know why?
Well, I know the Patrick Vieira factor, the manager of Palace.
They should be playing at home, because last year their first game was against Brentford, which we thought they would crunch them.
Yeah.
And what happened, remember, they went down 2-0 to Brentford.
Yes.
Brentford used to be the club that used to play their preseason practice matches against. Anyway, that started their season off. So now we've got Crystal Palace, which is just down south. Where's the southwest of London or something?
Yeah.
And that's got Patrick Vieira. And I see they've just bought a Vieira now, Portuguese midfielder.
Yeah, they paid 30 million for a bloke.
He looks skinny, though.
Yeah.
He looks like a stick.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. If he was like Xavi or Iniesta, yes, then I'd say okay. But anyway, I hope he can live up to that reputation.
Seems to be a lot of money for a kid that hasn't had an international cap yet. He's done quite well, and he's obviously very skillful. But they seem to be paying up a lot. If a kid becomes available, and Portuguese players have become very, very fashionable indeed. Oh, they have been for ages. I mean, Ronaldo started all that. But I don't know, 30, 35 million for a kid that hasn't played internationally? It seems a little bit excessive for me.
Anyway, we'll see him. You know, I don't know who he's replacing, because I thought they had a fairly decent midfield. I thought we need somebody up front, but anyway.
Yeah.
And at the back. So.
Yeah, in fact, they need
and
players.
And in the middle as well. Need everything.
You'll take whatever you can. Okay, David Shapiro, thank you very much for your time. David Shapiro is from Saturn Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow.